I do not like to watch the news often. But sometimes Kurt will turn on the evening news just to see the headlines. And we have an open concept kitchen, so I have to listen in. It's usually when I'm making dinner. And without fail, I don't know if you've observed this, if you watch the news, every time it's bad news after bad news after bad news. And it's all with that really dramatic music in the background, too. You know the one I'm talking about? Like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Like, okay, this is, I get the picture. It's really bad news. But sometimes at the end of the news segment, they try and add a little good news. Usually it's a sweet little human interest story about a kid who's beating the odds of cancer, or an ordinary person who's found a way to bring some happiness to the world around them. It doesn't really change the fact that there's all this bad news, but it does lift the spirits of the viewer a little bit. Well, in Romans so far, we have been considering a lot of bad news. Paul started his letter anchoring his audience in the glorious truth of their identity in Christ and the glorious gospel. But we have just spent much of the letter since digging into the reality of sin. And from these first chapters of Romans, we see that sin is a very big problem. It is indeed our biggest problem. And we can't just cover it up or balance it out with some good things that we do along the way, even religious things. That's not how it works. The bad news headlines are clear. Paul writes in Romans 1:18, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness." Romans 2:5, "The day of wrath is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed." 3:5, "God is not unrighteous to inflict wrath as a judgment for sin." Romans 3:9, "All, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin." And Romans 3:20, "By the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." Oof, that is a lot of bad news. It would be good to have some good news right about now, wouldn't it? Well, as Paul mentioned in his introduction, there is good news. And this is good news that actually changes everything. And he circles back to it now in full view here in Romans 3:21 through 31. Paul leads off verse 21 with, "But now." These words, "but now," mark a change in trajectory of this letter. But more than that, it indicates a new era in salvation history. After all the bad news, we finally get good news. But this is not just a little bit of good news to lift our spirits. This is the good news with the power to rescue our souls. In verses 21 to 26, we see the term righteousness of God several times, and this has been a major theme in the letter so far. The righteousness of God definitely refers to the righteous character of God, but it is perhaps best understood as righteousness that is only from God. As we have seen, God is the only righteous one. By his grace and goodness, he has always called mankind to his righteousness. He gave the law with commands for cleanliness and atonement, and he made Old Testament covenants with his people. But now, something greater is here. The works of the law were insufficient to make mankind righteous before God, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. And although the law and the covenants were not God's ultimate means of justification, they bore witness to it. God has always had a plan of salvation. What is this history-changing ultimate means of salvation? Well, verse 22 tells us, "The righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe." Praise God that the righteousness of God has been made manifest in Christ Jesus. Whether or not you have a strong religious pedigree or a good moral upbringing, whatever your previous right or wrong beliefs, whatever your accomplishments or mistakes, the way to salvation is the same for all. It is faith in Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we have good news that completely turns the bad news around. And this is for all who believe. Paul continues, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Once again, Paul packs so much into one sentence. So let's break it down and so that we can savor these beautiful truths of the good news of Jesus Christ. First, as we have already pointed out, this is good news for all who believe. There's no distinction. The bad news is the same for all people, but the good news is also available for all people. The dividing line is not based on ethnicity or spiritual heritage. And for us today, I would add, not on political or cultural allegiances. What makes someone justified before God is faith in Jesus Christ. Next, justification is a gift of grace. Remember that just a few verses prior, Paul wrote, "By the works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight." So it is incredible then that here in verse 24, we're told that God justifies us by his grace as a gift. We could not justify ourselves. We can't earn it. We've done nothing to deserve it. But grace is not deserved. It's freely given. And so by his glorious grace, God does for us what we could never do on our own. Only God can justify us by his grace. And he did so through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Redemption evokes the imagery of a person bound to slavery because of a debt owed. That debt needs to be paid in order to redeem them out of slavery. Jesus paid the price so that we can be redeemed out of slavery from sin. Our right standing before God is free to us, but it came at a price to himself. The price was the shed blood of his son. This brings us to the good news of Jesus Christ as our propitiation. How many of you had to look up this word? All right, yes, it's not one that we use every day. It's not one that I use every day, although we maybe should. As we have seen, God's righteous judgment for sin is wrath. That's bad news. This is the punishment that is due to every person because of sin. Now, according to Old Testament law, atonement had to be made for sins through the offering of a blood sacrifice of an animal. Instead of people paying the price of death for their sin, their punishment was placed on their sacrifice. These blood sacrifices were a picture of the seriousness and the grossness of sin before a holy God. A holy and just God cannot tolerate sin. And a holy and just God does not just gloss over sin. That would be unjust. I want you to think about what we've seen in the past few weeks and the horrific things that have happened. A woman stabbed while sitting on a bus. A husband and father shot while speaking on a college campus. Children terrorized by a school shooting. We applaud the willingness of their loved ones and those affected to forgive, but justice means that these heinous acts are dealt with. Well, my friends, our God is perfectly just, and he did not just gloss over these sins, and praise God, he did not just gloss over ours. He has dealt with sin. When Jesus went to the cross, he became the perfect and sufficient sacrifice for our sins by his blood. So for those who put their faith in Christ, the wrath of God, the just punishment for sin, instead of falling on us, fell on the holy and precious Son of God on our behalf. Thus, in Christ, God's wrath was satisfied. If your faith is in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection for your justification and your redemption, you can trust that Jesus has paid it all for you on the cross. That is what it means that Christ is our propitiation. The amazing thing that is that instead of us bringing an offering to God for propitiation for our sins, it says here in verse 25 that it is God who put forward Christ as the atoning sacrifice for us. In doing so, he magnificently shows forth the beauty of his righteousness. Verses 25 to 26 tell us that in the death and resurrection of Christ, God reveals his righteousness both in the past and in the present. God has always had a divine plan for redemption. Jesus Christ has always been plan A for salvation. The righteous ones of the Old Testament were saved by faith. Did you ever think about that? They weren't saved by a different means. And we will dive into that more next week. But their faith was in the promised Messiah to come. And the punishment for their sin was essentially deferred until the cross, which is why Paul says in verse 25, in God's divine forbearance, he passed over former sins. With the coming of Jesus, people are still justified by faith, but we can specifically look to the cross, to the Messiah who has come. The same God who gave the law and the prophets, who promised the Messiah, who called people to himself by faith in the Old Testament, is the God of the New Testament, who has sent Jesus Christ as the Messiah and continues to call people to himself today by faith. In Christ's death and resurrection, God's perfect justice and his perfect love come together. So as we see in verse 26, he is the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Only Jesus could be the perfect propitiation for sin. This was very good news for Paul's audience, both Jew and Gentile, and it is good news for us today. We have only to receive it by faith. Now, as we've seen, the good news is available to everyone, but there is a dividing line between those who stand in righteousness of God and those outside of it. And that dividing line is faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Christ isn't just a blanket application for everyone automatically. That belief is actually called universalism, and it's not good news, it's cheap news. Salvation in Christ is precious, and it must be received faithfully as such. In verse 21 to 26, we saw that the righteousness of God is through faith. It is for all who believe. The propitiation in Christ is received by faith. And God is the just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We don't bring anything else to the table. Paul writes in verses 27 to 28, "Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By the law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." If we think that our justification is ours by anything other than by faith in Jesus, or if we think we've added anything to our justification, our boasting will lie somewhere else other than Christ, as will our dividing lines, according to verses 29 to 30. For the original audience in Romans, Paul particularly warns Jewish believers against boasting in works of the law and thus looking down on Gentiles. That's their dividing line. If the law is the dividing line, I'm going to boast in it and I'm going to shun those or divide myself from those who don't have it. Now, we don't use the law as a dividing line today. I don't know any of you who follow the Mosaic law or anything. But we can also be tempted to boast and divide based on things other than Christ. It could be our background, our upright moral character, our talents, our accomplishments, our ideologies, our theological bent. Unfortunately, that list can go on and on and on. Where there is boasting, division is not far behind. So if we find ourselves straying, we must go back to the gospel of justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. As verse 30 states, God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. There is one gospel for all kinds of people. There isn't one gospel for the Jews and another for the Gentile. There's not one for the church kid and one for the grown man who has a history of addiction. There aren't multiple ways to God based on a person's experiences or preferences. There is one gospel for all, and it is received by grace through faith in Jesus. And the thing is that this faith does not oppose the law of God. In verse 31, Paul writes, "Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. It is only through faith in Jesus that one can actually live in true obedience to God's commands. God has always called mankind to live by faith, because by faith our salvation no longer depends on us, but it is given to us by the grace of God. Justification is only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ." Is this good news to you? Thank you. Yes. I'm glad it is to somebody. The gospel is not just another feel-good story to lift our spirits. It is the good news that rescues our souls. I hope that the gospel is the life-changing truth that you live by every day. For in the darkness of a broken world, this is the good news that we all need. But if you're here today and the gospel has just become something of a dull thing in your heart, because I know that happens sometimes, maybe it does feel like another fluff piece and you wonder why it matters. Let this passage bring you to a fresh awakening to what God has done for you in Christ. Remember the one who justifies you by his grace as a gift, the one who redeems you, who has laid his life down as a propitiation for you, who is the just and the justifier, upon whom your faith can rest. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Living by faith is believing that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do in Christ. Do you have faith that the blood of Jesus is enough to pay for your sins and make you righteous before God according to his word? If so, you are justified by God, and you stand righteous before him in the righteousness of Christ, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. This is good news that we can savor, knowing that because of Jesus, the bad news no longer has a hold on us. May God be glorified in us as we proclaim and live out this good news. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you that with the reality of knowing that we cannot do this on our own, we can't reach you on our own, we can't be good enough on our own, you sent Jesus to be righteousness on our behalf, to take our punishment on the cross so that we can be redeemed to you. Lord, I pray that we would be people of faith, that we would treasure this good news in our lives daily, that we would proclaim this good news to those who are around us, and that we would treasure this good news as we live day by day. Thank you, Lord, that it is not by our works, but it is by grace. And we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.